Beginning of Channel 1 over, beginning of Channel 1 over, and the beginning of the visit with Woodard Coleman and Miss Annie this Wednesday afternoon, the 23rd of December 1970. Channel 1 over, Channel 1 over, beginning of Channel 1 over, and the beginning of the visit with Woodard and Miss Annie Coleman this Wednesday afternoon, the 23rd of December 1970. Channel 1 over. And the beginning of the visit with Woodard and Miss Annie Coleman this Wednesday afternoon, the 23rd of December, 1970. Channel 1 over. And beginning of the visit with Woodard and Miss Annie Coleman this Wednesday, the 23rd of December, 1970.
You comfortable right here, Miss Annie. Coleman, you sit over here.
All right.
You have more room.
Yeah, I got a chest.
Yeah.
Stretch a little bit. Say, I could use a little refreshment.
I got some sitting right here for you.
Yes. Yes.
Hey, Nick's going to come in. You move over there.
Yes, sir, that rye is green and thick. Isn't
yes,
it?
Sir. If my little pals, they ought to break out and come over here. Do it in the night. If you know how to steal and go back early in the morning.
You know, somebody said you better watch the deer or we'll get fine.
Well, I guess he would. I guess he would because, you know, I don't think it's too much heat in there for them to get out on the leaves now.
No.
Well, they eat acorns where they can get some acorns, but I don't think there's too many of them.
Is that right?
They're going to have to plant something for them. They can't live off the country when there's nothing growing, can they?
No, sir, they can't. That's the truth.
Do you what? Ever see any over here?
Nope. Never have.
No.
You all see them?
No, I haven't.
I've seen the track one morning down the road, you know, where between the, where you get off the hard road in my house, where the one at the tower. But I don't know. See, I've seen turkey once. Well, we used to see turkeys often before they started working around there. But they come up in our field back there a few times.
Mm-hmm.
Just 2 and 3 and 4 and that bunch. And I could hear them every morning.
You know, they tell me the turkeys come up and eat with your chickens if you don't bother.
Don't bother. Well, that's what I was waiting on them to get a little bit tamer. But I wish now I had went out and killed me when I did see him, but I didn't do it, and so the people scared him back. Somebody got the shooting in the woods.
Oh, yeah.
Found where they roost at, you know,
uh-huh.
And got to kill it, some of them,
yeah.
I think I knew who it was, all right, but didn't have anything to do with it.
Not much you can do about it, is it?
No, that's the truth. And so all that hunting place over there now, I think they used to turn their use to. Cross the railroad, that belongs to Orange, Illinois.
Well, what's your cows eating now?
they're getting much of nothing now. They get a little something around there, get the scrub. I've been canning them a little something. I might say they're not getting much because if I look at what your cows get to eat, mine ain't getting nothing.
You give them a little hay?
Yes, sir. I give them a little hay. But take a little feed like you got for your cow. That looks like about as good as down there as you get in the summertime.
Oh, it's better?
Yes, sir.
Oh, there's no comparison.
Yes, sir. But nope. That rye's better than that grass, eh?
Oh, it's way yonder better than
yes,
that grass.
Sir. I know it's strong, but you know, you had a real good castle here.
You know what we done last winter? We had that rye out here in front. And we had this old bony horse,
yes.
And we'd been talking with the vet and the blacksmith or everybody that'd come up to see how we could feed him, and, you know,
yes,
I told you about that.
Yes.
Well, they said not much you can do. You can feed him twice a day or three times a day. That'd help him a little bit.
Yes.
But his digestion not that good.
No.
Well, sir, we put him out there, and then there was another old horse, Nellie.
Yes, sir.
And you know what? They just fattened up.
Yes, sir.
I
they
wish
sure
you
did.
Had seen them after they'd been out on that pasture for a while.
Well, I do say.
Boy, just you talk about mending. I never saw anything like it.
Well, sir.
And they're 25, 30 years old, both of them.
Yes, sir. I guess so. Because that now, I can tell that. I can look at it. I don't know much about looking at a horse and judge it, but I can tell that old horse just by looking at him.
Yeah.
Yes, that not that.
Well,
yes.
He really gained on that.
Yes.
Have some cake.
And then during the summer, he lost it.
Yes, he lost it.
Yeah.
Yes, and it had plenty of grass, too.
Yeah.
Plenty of other
touches
of the wire. Yes. Well, you took that test, you had some of that. I call that good test, sir.
Well, it's not like this.
No, sir.
This is sour cream cake, Miss Annie. Have a piece, and there's some Christmas cookies. Well, we sure are glad to see you over here.
Yes, sir. Last Thursday, we had a little bad luck. I was you know, on Wednesday, there was lots of wind, and we had a kind of a bad window in our kitchen, and one pane come out, and I went around that tried to remedy that, and made it worse. And it about sold it all out, and I had to go buy a window, and didn't have time Wednesday evening, and so we had planned to come here Thursday morning and stay a while and go on the Macintosh and get one. And went out there to leave the house, it had a flat tire, that's some more bad luck. And it was after 12 o'clock when I got tire changed. Take that one off and put on another. I did have another.
Yeah.
But when I the whistle blew before
Mr.
I got
you
it
have
changed.
A cake?
Yeah, thank you.
Whistle blew before I got it changed.
Where did you get your
change.
Tire fixed?
Down here at the Gulf Filling
Station. Yeah.
Yes.
That's a good place.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Help yourself there, Coleman.
Now, you had a little wind up there?
Oh, Wednesday evening.
Yeah.
Yes, we had a good evening.
Is that the day it rained?
That night. It rained that night, yes, sir.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
Well, now that's what brought this rye out.
Yes, sir.
It was way up high, but it was spindly and dusty. And we had a little less than an inch rain.
Yes, sir.
That's right smart this time, yeah.
Yes, it is. Yes, sir.
And you know, the next, I let it go for a couple of days and then turn the cows in.
Yes, and it grew up that way.
Uh-huh.
It went that fast.
Well, now, if we could just have a little more.
Boy, it goes, don't it?
Yes, sir.
Just get a little weather. You got your window down at the...
yes, sir. It used to be wind store. Somebody else owned that place now, I think. They got a pretty good stock in there now again.
Yeah?
Yes. Yes, sir. That's how I got it down there.
But you got your window all right.
Yes, sir. So we had another one that would soon go bad, and I just got two while I was at it, and so I got a man to help me put them in.
Can't be without a window.
No, ma'am. Not after all that cold wind. That's the truth.
Yeah. You, who you get when you need a little help, what?
The fellow up there, he's a Jack Lake, call himself a Jack Lake carpenter, or he ain't a carpenter, but he can do something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta make no hero count, really, so I get him.
I don't know him.
No, sir, I guess you don't. He stayed out there not far from Mr. Franklin Mill back on the backside over there.
Oh, in Meganopin?
Yes, sir.
Oh, I've heard his name,
yes,
but
sir.
I don't know him.
Yes, the council.
Well, he's a pretty good carpenter, isn't he?
Well, he do right good little, of course. He'll do.
Yeah.
Of course, these rail carpenters, I'm not able to hire one of them. They cost us too much.
Yes, I read,
huh? Yes, sir, it is.
Oh, that's something.
Well,
I'm sorry you all had got held up, but something always holding me up. Always.
Well, I guess it's just about that way with myself, you know, but you know, after I promised anybody anything I would like to do what I said I was going to do. Yes, sir. But I'm just about like you, some old time getting in my way, just the same way.
Well, we'd have been here. But as it happened, I had some machinery broke down.
Yes, sir.
And I got the fella down there in Ocala, and I thought while I got a hold of him, I better go down there, you see.
No,
that's
thank
right.
You.
I was afraid to wait.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, that was... well, I'm glad it happened. It's what I had to do. I'm glad it happened just like it did. I'm glad you wasn't home, so that would give me a chance to go. Because if you had been home, I would have tarried a while with you anyway.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, we felt bad about it because, you know, it was noon, and we was afraid we just put you out and
yes,
made
sir.
You miss it, and we
yeah.
missed you. But
yes, sir.
We hate to miss you.
Because we didn't, but we waited then, and we thought...
Yes.
Something had happened.
Yes, that's what it was. And you know, that's one thing I hate to have a tire and moving them things. And it, I had to pretty well do it by myself. And she don't know, couldn't put much help to me.
Miss Annie, you can't put a tire on?
No, ma'am. Can you?
Well, I don't think I could. I used to on some of those old cars where the tires were small.
Yeah, small. Well, that's the trouble. That old tire is so heavy.
Uh-huh.
It's mean for me to put on that because it's so heavy. After I got the other one off, I couldn't hardly get that on there. It had so much weight to it.
But Nick, Miss Annie, she can hitch horses to a wagon.
It's mean for me to put on that because it's so heavy. After I got the other one off, I couldn't hardly get that on there. It had so much weight to it.
But Nick, Miss Annie, she can hitch horses to a wagon, can't you?
Not this one mule what we got now. I have never had
one. Yeah, never had one, but she could hitch him up there.
But she
others what we had, she used to hitch him up all the time. Sometimes they take it and go when I don't want them to go.
Yeah, I hitch up Babel to the devil wagon.
And drive it.
Yes, ma'am.
I'd like to have gone for a ride with you. That's a lot of harnesses for a double.
Well,
that's over
if you get used to it, it's not too hard.
Miss Daisy was wanting to visit a little bit with you all. She was up here that morning.
She was.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yes,
she's working today.
Yes, ma'am. Well, that's the reason we wasn't here. You know, I'd never like to promise anybody anything and don't do what
have
it says.
Have no peace.
No, ma'am. Thank you. I just get busy.
Is Miss Bessie home?
She went to Palm Beach this morning.
See her sister.
See her sister. I encouraged her to go. She said she'd be back Sunday.
Miss Annie's getting her Christmas cooking done this morning.
Huh? What's that, Mr. Mom?
You're doing some Christmas cooking?
No, ma'am. I haven't cooked a thing.
Why, Miss Annie?
What I'm going to cook, I guess I'll start out of tomorrow.
Oh, you'll be cooking tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you cook it too soon, you'll eat it all up.
What you be cooking for Christmas?
I have no turkey. I have a hen.
A hen.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care for turkey much.
You like a hen better?
Mm-hmm.
I do too.
I do too. Mm-hmm.
How you cook them?
Well, I cook them different ways. I bake them. Sometimes Doctor kept cooking the offer and baked food and things like that. And I just keep it down.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm going to eat.
Uh-huh. What's wrong with baked food?
You're not the baker, you're the fried food.
Well, I didn't know that.
Well, that's what Dr. Strange told me.
You know, doctors, sometimes I think they tell you a lot of things. They want you to stay a little ill, you know, so you'd be always
if they get a little money, yeah. As long as they can keep you kind of lingering, you know, they get everything you get over. Money line.
I want to ask Miss Annie how she bakes potatoes.
Sweet potatoes?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I just put them in the stove. And
do you have a hot stove?
I'm just on my gas stove. I turn the oven on and let the oven get hot, and then I put some in there.
Well, the reason.
Mm-hmm. Now, what's wrong with them, Miss Annie?
Ain't nothing wrong.
Didn't you grease them?
Uh-huh. Yeah, I did grease them.
Mm-hmm. Don't it look like it?
Do you?
No, I used to grease them, but where was nobody but Coleman and us? They get sour.
You
sour
quick
when you grease them.
Of course, they don't keep them too long before.
I
believe they bake softer
when you grease them. It does when you grease them, but they get sour quick.
But if you keep them in length of time.
Mm-hmm. You mean it makes a difference in how they bake when you grease them?
The potatoes, I don't know where it makes any difference about how you bake them or not. But when you bake them and you keep them in a length of time with the grease on them, they get sour. But when the grease is not on them, they won't sour.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now the last batch I baked, I didn't put any grease on. And they don't taste anything like as good as these.
No.
And I wonder.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's best to put the grease on them.
I don't think
the others got cooked enough.
No.
They was dry, Miss Annie.
Yeah.
And they were the same potatoes right
mm-hmm.
out of the, your
Well, it probably makes a difference when you put that grease on them.
Oh, yes, it makes a difference.
Well, now, these are really sweet.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And the others didn't have any taste to them.
They didn't. Mm-hmm.
Now, do you cook them in a right hot oven?
Yes, ma'am. I let the oven get hot before.
Well, now that
it.
Could make the difference. I think you're right.
I don't know, Faye. Mm-hmm. I was just thinking. See, Faye went off and left these in the hot oven,
mm-hmm.
and when she come back, they were really, really juicy.
Yeah.
Oh, we do like those potatoes.
Yes, yes, they. I like it myself, but she don't bother either.
Imagine that.
And don't eat watermelon. You know, she won't eat watermelon. I don't think she eat any watermelon this whole summer.
Say, mm-hmm. What is it you learned about from Miss Annie? She was cooking custard or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, she told me how to cook custard.
And you haven't had any.
Oh, I will, though. You still cook custard?
Egg custard.
Uh-huh.
Yes, I cook them. I cook one about 3 times a week. I baked one yesterday, and I won't bake one until about Friday. That'll do or something.
Now, that's good for you.
Dr. Strange put me on egg custard.
Yeah,
I
could live on that, couldn't
I? Yeah. Sometimes I don't get them exactly right. These are too milky. They don't be dry enough.
Yeah.
I don't take them out of the stove too quick. They're on the top be brown nice, but they don't be brown and underneath.
Well, now, how is it that you do it?
Who makes the custard? Uh-huh. I 2 cans of milk and 2 eggs and beat and sugar and beat them together, and then I put my extract in them after I heat the milk,
mm-hmm.
and after I pour the milk and then I put my flavoring in it,
mm-hmm.
and then put them in the stove. But I always put after I empty a can of milk. I filled that can with full of water and
mm-hmm.
put it in, but the second can I don't fill it full of water. I just put a little water in there and then empty it in there.
Mm-hmm.
I think 2 cans of water be too much,
mm-hmm.
and I empty 1 can.
but you use two eggs.
Oh, that sounds, that tastes good. That makes me hungry just think about it.
Now, you don't put it in the oven. Do you put it in some water when you put it in the oven, or just put it in?
Yeah, I put it in one of these Pyrex dishes.
Uh-huh.
And then set the dish in a pan with water in it, and then set the pan in the stove in the oven.
And it takes about 30 minutes to cook?
Oh, it takes longer than that.
Oh.
Okay. At least I have never time. See, uh-huh. I long it takes.
Miss Anna, what do you cook with back there?
Mm-hmm. What's that, Miss Mile?
What do you cook with back there?
I cook gas. I use gas.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Your gas man comes back there?
Yes, sir.
He comes down sometime. On Wednesday is his day. So he comes out. You have two of them drums or whatever you call them. I don't know how it
is. I thought you'd have your wood stove working part of the time.
I do use it when it's real cold. And then the kitchen just to warm up the kitchen. But I don't always bother about cooking. I think I did put some potatoes in it on it the other day.
You know, if you got to heat with that gas, it's costly. Yes, sir.
Yes, we don't heat with it. In the house, we've got a fireplace. And we've been able to get a little wood, oak wood.
Oh, you have a fireplace?
Yes, yes ma'am.
I have a double fireplace, two fireplaces.
In the house.
You think it makes a difference, an open fireplace and a stove?
Yes, and I think it makes a difference.
Well, I tell you, the way it is myself, I'm so used to looking in the fire. I have on the stove, can't see the fire, I wasn't looking.
Yeah.
Well, because I don't know whether it's any better than that, but I just used to it.
These, you're talking about these Welsh people back there.
Yes.
When you was a boy, you used to come back there. And
I was in teenage.
Yeah.
Yes. I think just the other side of that pond, I believe where the house was, because the road used to come back round over on the other edge of this place next to the college place, and goes down in there. It used to be a kind of a lane goes back in there.
Mm-hmm.
And the man who stayed in here then is Mr. Grace, C.J.
Yeah.
Grace, I
yeah.
believe his name was.
Yeah.
Yes. That's been way back down there. I guess I was about 15 years.
Well, now, Mr. Grace left here about the time of the war, World War One, didn't he?
I remember the day when he was selling out. I don't know, was it there or before then? It might have been about that time. I don't keep no count of it, but I was over here the day when they had a sale. You know, selling out whoever wants to buy, you know, a bit, hot bit,
mm-hmm.
Things, what he had on the farm, you know.
Oh.
Not the land, but it's just the
mm-hmm.
farm tools.
What all did he have?
Well, most of the things that, you know, like, used to use mules, you know. Farmers' mules back in the time. There was no tractors.
Yeah.
And plows and things like that.
Yeah.
Different things that he used.
Well, now, he built a... Did they have any buildings out here then?
What, mean out here on the... Yeah, I don't know if that same that he had a barn, I think.
Yeah.
That's all I can remember. You know, I wasn't around his place very much, not none too much, but
yeah.
Where that other man was back over there, I was on his place gathering watermelons, and you know, we fellow boys would tote the watermelons. You know, they didn't handle them then like they handle them now. Man go along and cut them and we take them up and carry them to the the road where the wagon could go along, you know, and the wagon come along and pick them up. Back in them times, it wasn't nothing like an automobile. It never had, in fact, I hadn't seen an automobile back in them times.
Yeah.
It was nothing but mule wagon, horse wagon. That's all I knew anything about.
Mm-hmm.
But you still carried them to that heap row.
Yes, sir. Yes, you carried them. As I said, this man used to grow some, he had some big watermelons too, but the man, what, I don't know, you might have heard people talking about it, got killed up there, Baron, what Baron, there, but he's packing watermelons, and he grew some watermelons just on the, he, in that, I don't know who that land belongs to then, just the other side, still right in there about where Mark Richardson's son, Bill Crossen, across the road from him. The watermelon was so large you couldn't hardly carry one in the sack.
Is that right?
Or call them cob gems. And the heart of them is just a hard, almost hard as this table. And it's just ripe round the heart. It wasn't fitting, hardly fitting eating, but it's a big watermelon.
Yeah.
It wasn't nothing like watermelon to grow now, but it's a big melon, but it wasn't fitting to eat.
And they call them
cob gems.
Cob jam.
Yes,
and the heart of it was hard.
Hard, it's never as hard as the table. And just a little red watermelon around the edge of that heart, you know. And it where the hard part of the heart is, it was white, you know, and just red round there. They wasn't no good to eat. They wasn't fit to eat. But it's a nice looking watermelon, and it's a big watermelon.
Yeah.
And this man growed them what. Got killed there. I wasn't there the day when he got killed, but I was there, might say, like the day before and a day or two afterwards. He was
mm-hmm.
packing watermelon and that's his brother killed him.
Mm-hmm.
His father run the post office right across railroads there about. There's a lady, white lady dressed hair across the railroad there. Somewhere right in there. I could. Had a little house there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Over there by the railroad station.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It was depot there then, right in that Pino River.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They used to load a lot of cabbage there and lettuce at that place. Used to be cars, a row of cars standing, I guess, is almost as long as from here to the highway up there by the Daisy Rice Day.
Yeah.
Called lettuce and cabbage. They used to load some of that stuff at this place down here. It don't look like it now, though.
Don't look like it now, does it?
No, they don't. But they sure used to load some. I see them load trains so heavy that the passenger train wanted to go along about 3 o'clock going north. Sometimes it'd be so heavy loaded, they had to back to Boardman to get started. It was a grade right there about where Freddie cleaned up some land now, if you know, right there. It was a grade there to make, and they couldn't make it. They had to go back, all the way back to Boardman and get a start in there, so they couldn't make it over there.
Hmm.
And way up there where I live at, it don't look like it now. They used to load a lot of stuff there. You know, it used to be a little short run out there to meet these main passenger trains right there where I live at.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Look at it now, don't look like it ever been anything there but just myself. It look like nobody else. But it used to be they used to load some stuff there. They'd bring so much out of making up that train did. The other train couldn't take it all.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yes. People used to farm there, and it didn't cost so much. And look at me, it had just about as much money as they have now. You get big wages now, but it don't look like to me it amounts so much.
No.
And you get too rich, you don't have nothing, do you?
No.
But they used to do just about as good then as they do now. I'll be having as much money.
Yeah. How about that, Miss Annie? Did you have as much money then as you have now?
I don't imagine that time.
She's at Hawthorne.
Yeah, I was in Hawthorne, but they did load a few out there where I stayed at after I married and come down here.
They planted most of that where she lived, that cotton.
Yeah, that's mostly gold up there was cotton.
Oh, there's cotton country up there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you had made some money out of cotton.
Oh, yes, Henry could make it before the boy wheels and the red bulls got so bad in it.
Yeah, always made a living, you know, might have been a poor living, but they made a living there.
I know, the boll weevil, I know, what the red bug do to the cotton?
It stains.
Stains, yeah.
Oh.
You ever see them kind of stained cotton? You never see that?
No, we grow cotton, but I never saw that.
There's a bug, just like these old bugs get on your windshield, they're just about the size of a bug, but it's a red bug.
Yeah.
These black bugs get on your windshield, and them are red bugs. Just the size of like them bugs.
Yeah.
But they get on the cotton, and after the cotton open, you get in that bowl, and they stain it. That cotton would be just the color they are.
Oh.
Whenever they get bad in your cotton field, you'd have trouble. You couldn't get much price for that cotton.
Yeah. They dock you.
Yes, you know, the stains, you the color, you know, it'd be bad cotton.
So you've worked in the cotton, Miss Annie?
Yes, ma'am. Oh, these are kind of few string beans up there, too.
We grow some cotton down here. Well, we helped grow some cotton after we was married. We
grow lots of them. Really? Nice
down
lot.
Here?
Yes. In 1917, now, that year we had we got good price for it. We called it good price. Well, it was a good price for him. It sold about 23 cents and 25 cents in seed, and 20 to 25 cents in seed. And we've done pretty well on that. Yeah. But, you know, some years, you know, you just only get 5 cents. Sell it in seed, 5 cents a pound, 10 cents. All like that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
But and as farming, it's like planting vegetables. Now we used to get beans. I used to see where people take beans. Now we used to get them take 10 cents, 12 and a half, 15 cents. That 50 cents used to be the highest price.
Mm-hmm.
A half of beans in it.
Uh-huh.
Of course, along in them times, were man labor. Some of them was a dollar, some was less than a dollar.
Mm-hmm.
And it don't look like people could have made a living, but look at me. I was here in them times, and look at me. It wasn't much different in them times as now. Of course, you get a big wage now. People get a whole lot more hour now than what they used to get out of day. But they don't have that much more money.
No.
No.
No. They don't do a thing for themselves now.
No.
No garden, no chickens, no nothing.
No, that's true.
Yeah.
We used to raise all that now. We had chickens and we used to raise hogs and raise our meat, raise our syrup, and sweet potatoes as long as it lasts. Well, the meat and thing, we raised enough yet to last. We cure it, you know, and it lasts the whole summer. We make enough lard.
Oh, yeah.
We made enough lard to last. Since we've been married, me and Annie been married, we have made some cans like what we said. We got in the store, I think it's called about 40, 45 pounds. That's in the field.
Yeah.
We have made high eight of them cans ourselves just for us.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, we didn't have that to buy. Well, so I stayed further back over on the woods. I could raise my hogs out on the range then, but see, now you couldn't raise them over there because they didn't cut that out now. But we raised our hogs and all we had to do plant to feed and fatten the hogs.
Yeah.
It didn't cost much to raise them. But raise them in a pasture or a pen, it takes cost a good deal of money now, like some people do raise them now.
You'd let them grow up on the country and then you'd pen them and fatten them.
Yes, sir. Pen them in long September, October. October would be the main month I'd put them on the feed.
Yeah. Then when cold weather comes, you could
butcher them. Yes. If they stay on the feed about 2 months, they'd be good. Either 2 months, or if they had enough feed, a little long, 2.5, or like that.
Miss Annie, did somebody come up to your house one night after bedtime?
Yeah, somebody come up there one night. Lagna frightened me to death.
Oh, you got scared.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was standing at the window.
You looking at
it. I was looking right at you. The flash lightning is... I had heard the car out there, and I went to the window. He was in the bed.
Well, I honked at you when I come up.
I didn't hear that.
Didn't
hear
him honk?
I just heard the car when I came up, but I didn't hear
Annie's a little bit apart of here.
Then I walked up there with a flashlight, and I spoke to you. I said, this is Guy Miles.
Well, I didn't hear that. I he's in the bed, and I said, what is somebody's out here with a flashlight.
Yeah.
I really was frightened.
Well, I didn't hear a sound in there. I stood there on the steps.
Mm.
I thought maybe all was gone.
No, I was in the bed.
I guess it was very late, but, you know, as I told you, I go to bed with the chickens, and you know, she sets up late sometimes, set up by herself till about 10, 12 o'clock.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, was you still up that night?
Yes, I was going to bed. And I heard the car when it come up out there.
Yeah.
And I went to the wind then, and I used inside the gate then with the flashlight.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I went back and told him.
Well, I thought maybe you'd come to the door.
Mm-mm.
Why was that it?
Mm-mm. I didn't open no door. Because I didn't know. If I knew who you were, I would come to the door.
Well, I was standing there telling you.
I didn't hear you.
He was yelling just as loud as
he
could.
I didn't.
I didn't hear it.
Well, how was you so quiet in there? I didn't hear a sound.
Well, I was just quiet. I was sitting down there to the fire.
Oh, you are?
Yes.
And I guess after she seen that flashlight, she was tipping, I guess. That she was.
Well, now, the first sound I heard was, Woodard was at the back door.
Yes.
You didn't hear me tell what Carl Woodard told you?
Them dogs was making a lot of noise.
Yes, he was making a lot of noise. When you... when you told me who you was, it didn't make so much noise. I couldn't understand what you said.
Well, you couldn't hear for the
for
dogs
either. That's right. they was just making a lot of noise out there. Right?
Oh, they were.
But I got satisfied after you said who you were. I just
got sure
when someone comes and
goes
home.
You get scared too quick. You get so scared she wouldn't try to do nothing to help herself, protect herself.
Well, why you get so suspicious back there, Miss Annie?
I don't know. Just so many things happening until I just think of someone coming to do us harm.
Well, nobody bothered you all.
No.
But, you know, it's not too late, though, because, you know, them kind of people, they travel all about.
Oh, that's just after Mr. Boyd.
Just
that day
well, yes,
out.
Just after.
Oh,
I believe it
yes,
was.
It was after, wasn't
yes.
it?
Yes.
And that, I don't know, you think about that too, I guess.
Yes.
And she had been reading the paper about in California, where a man killed the doctor, I believe, and the whole family of them just about.
Well, you have to quit reading those, Miss Annie.
I think it'd be better. I believe it'd be better for her not to read them. Because she read them knowing just anything turn up, she thinks somebody coming there. You know, I never thinks about that at the first thing, somebody coming to me. They got to show some sign or they're going to kill me before I think about that.
Did they think something like that had happened to Mr. Boyd?
I don't know, Mr. Knapp.
Some people, I talk with a lot of people, think so. Some don't. It says the children. But, you know, I tell you, it looked very suspicious to me with him being out there that time of morning, 5 o'clock in the morning. You know,
yeah.
And I guess you know where the little old barn was.
Yeah.
A little log barn. That's where he kept his mules when he had mules.
Yeah.
he had another barn or house where they used to live in, right back at his house there. That's the house where he used to live in. I think he's using that for a hay barn, so he told me he was.
Yeah.
And I was told, that his walking stick was in the house. You know, I don't think he had lots of different things. I don't know what it is exactly like. And I never, since I've been seeing him in that condition, I never seen him anywhere unless he had that stick in his hand.
Yeah.
Cause he used to come to old our house a good many times. I don't see how he got there. Last time he come, he got lost. He got across the railroad there, and I had to straighten him out when he got ready to go home. That's the first thing when he sat down, and first, like he'd have that stick close around him. And the first thing he would do before he'd get up, he'd feel for that stick and get it. That is what he guided himself by, you know, feeling the roads and different things and tell where he was. Now, he told me, he didn't want people to know he was in that bad shape. He told me, that's the way he told when he got to his gate. You know, he got a mailbox set there, you know, if you see it. And say when he get, and he hold that stick out to that stick, strike that post with the mailbox set on, then he knows where to get at then. He didn't want people to know he was in, you know, he had been in pretty bad shape a long time. But he kept it hid from lots of people, all who didn't know it. But the last time he come to my house, you know, it was a cross that I'm seeing, you're right down middle way between where my house sat and the highway, where they cross the railroad, haul that timber out there. Well, he had been traveling when he did, could see he was traveling, but he knew how to, he had to cross the cross and come to my house. But he turned that day and went across that crossing. And I was out there doing a little work, and so I heard somebody on the other side of the railroad in down there in the street call. I heard him when he first called, but I wanted to be sure. He called three times, and the third time he called, I caught his voice. And I answered him. He said, "Where's your house at?" I said, "Here I'm at the house now." And that was along about October. You know that scrub on the railroad, you know, they'll move it down, it's very high. So I said, "You can't come across there." I said, "Go back to the railroad crossing and come across the crossing." And he went on like going back, and when he got to where he went across the railroad, he couldn't find a way back across there. And so he stayed so long, I went down there to see where he was, and he was across there trying to find a way back, and he was out there in the agent's scrub. And I got up on top of the railroad and called him and told him to come to where I was, and he did. Then he wanted to go home then. I said, "Well, no, come go up to the house and sit down and rest some," because I seen he was worried. I didn't worry himself. And he went up there and stayed about an hour, then got ready to go home, and I come on out and walked peacefully down the road with him and told him, I said, "When you get to the highway now," I said, "you turn to the right and you carry your house." And so I guess he done that because he went home. And so I hadn't seen, I had seen him. But we passed him on the road one day and I just blew the horn. I told Annie I wouldn't say nothing because he'd want me to stop if I had said anything. And another day we passed there, he must have been coming to his mailbox. He got a fence run from the mailbox, a line fence, you know, to his house. You've seen that. And, and he was coming along, I think coming to the mailbox, holding to that wire. That fence, you know, that's the guy that come to the mailbox. And he's standing up. He's near by to the gate. And he stood up and threw up his hand just like he was looking at us. And I threw up my hand. I wouldn't say nothing because if he'd have caught my voice, you know, he knowed me so well and I knowed him. Now, I've been knowing him, you know, since I'm back in about 1906, something like that. Seen of him, you know. He comes from Georgia here. Dr. Montgomery, it was two of the Montgomerys that made an old man and his son. The old man had a woman working for him, like Dr. Strain got this nurse down here. He had a woman working for him that making over. And she was cousin to Mr. Boyd. And I think that's because him first coming to this country. Well, he was young then because he's a little older than I am. And he wasn't, well, I guess he's maybe somewhere close to about 21 years old, something, 19 or 21 years old, something. And I've been knowing her ever since. Then he went back to Georgia and come back, and went back and come back, and he come back about the third time. I think he brought one of his sisters. She lived with him. Not far from where Mr. Franklin them got them houses built over there now. That's where they lived there. And they lived there, and then way long time after, years after he married. I know him before he married, and know when he married. I've been knowing
him. He married long after he come down here.
Yes, sir. He went back to Georgia and married his wife. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. When he first come down here, he wasn't married. He wasn't. I guess he's about 20 years old, something like that. It might have been 21.
So you seen him over at your house there, not long before he got...
No, that's been a year ago. That's October a year ago, that's the last time he was there. He hadn't been there since.
Oh.
And I think I was talking to this man, Mr. Sherrill, over here on Mr. Franklin Place. I told him about it. He used to come around us pretty often, but I quit. I don't know what the cause of it. And he said he just can't find a way there. That's when he don't come. And so we seen him a time or two, but he never did come to our house no more, because I think he wasn't able to find a way there, because he didn't, the last time he come there, he didn't find a way there. He was across the railroad. He's up there, over there. And he never would have got out of where he was that day if I hadn't, or somebody else hadn't found him. Because he would never found his way back out, because he was getting further back in that scrub. You know, it's scrubby back in that, I guess you ain't never been back there, but you can look back there and see. But he'd have got back in there, he never would have got out of there.
Do you reckon he carried much money on him, William?
Yes, he carried some money on him. I know he did. I know he carried some on him, because we did not know that is his business over there part of the time. Because I'll tell you all, he got us to count some of his money on him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he carried quite a bit of money on him at times, because he... When he come over there, he had quite a bit of them. And that's when I told him, he's coming there in this county very often, and I told him, go somewhere else to get his town. I told him, bring them, because I know that wasn't going to last. It's going to turn out something bad if we keep it up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want to be in it if anything start, and so I told him not to bring them over there. It looked like it hurt him. And I told him that, but I did tell him that. I told him to carry somewhere else and get his time. Because I just thought something, you know, if you carry money around and everybody know you carry it around, and especially getting different. Then afterwards, I tell you, I was talking to different people, and he had been getting other people to count it, because they told me the same thing.
Oh.
And by that, you know no telling who know they had it.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me himself, because he didn't tell me to tell anybody. He told me, Seth, Mr. McVeever used to count it for him. You know him, though. We didn't make
yeah.
no. Say he used to count it for him.
Yeah.
And I talked to two, three other people, and they said they counted for him. Well, and I come to find out, it looked like everybody was counting for him. And I'm glad I got out of it, you know. Cause everybody knew he was carrying. Now, he had come over there, and I didn't get it all together. If ever he wouldn't try to hide it from me, you know, he had his pocket, he could roll the money up the closest together, bill, you know, roll it up round, you know, like round like a lead pencil. Anybody I've ever seen. He wouldn't pull it all out at one time. But lots of it pulling out of different money, because you could tell by the bills of, you know. Some would be $10. Some $20 bills, and he had one roll of money. His three $100 bills in that roll.
Hmm.
And the last time he come there, he got that roll out. I look at it. I told him then, I don't know where the other $100 went, but I told him then, you just only got two $100 bills in here now. But he had three $100 bills wrapped up there together.
Mm.
And the last time he come, it come back to me to count, he just had two of them there. So I don't know where he taking it out. Somebody else got into it.
Mm-hmm.
And
you
he,
told him.
Yes, I told him about it. And he had, sometimes he had be $20, about two $200 or $300 or $20 bills.
Oh.
And sometimes some be $10 bills. You have a mixture. Tell you what you're doing. I'll sit down there a long time, just 2-3 days, you know, half that time. I don't know what he could get out of that. He wants you to put all the 20s together for him. I done that. He wants to turn all the heads up the same way. I wonder what could he tell about that. Well, that's what he wants you to do.
Uh-huh.
And so I done that. And so he kept on coming so often, and I had that bill. I just told him that. And he thought then we wanted to pay. And I was that day coming off pay. Guess what he offered? And it was that day. Guess what he offered us? Called us and said, want to pay us for our trouble. Okay, guess what he offered us? 25 cents apiece. He bought 50 cents, 25 cents there, 25 cents for her and 25 cents for me. That we called a pay. And so afterwards, when he come there the next time, then I told him, I said, Mr. Boyd, I said, you go to make it over the trade. I said, some people must be counting your money because you trade that. You have to count it back to you. I said, let them count the money. I'll cash somewhere else. I told him, don't bring no more here. And he left there that day. Look like he's still crying. But I told him, I said, don't bring no more here. I don't want to count no more because I don't want to be messed up in. And I told him, don't bring no more here.
Yes.
Yes, look like he's old.
He had what's that gold piece?
It's $50.
Goodness. Just imagine that, Faye, counting somebody's money who can't see.
Well, I tried him, he couldn't see. Sometimes he left there. I tried him. I said, I'm going to try you today, see if you see.
Uh-huh.
You're going to the gate, you know, like, we'll get you coming in there. He left the steps and went to the gate. And when he got to the gate, kind of seemed beaten out. He's trying to find the gate.
Uh-huh.
And he couldn't, he's on the other side. He could see, just like you standing, he could see the book of you, you know, but he couldn't tell you who you were.
Uh-huh.
He beat it till he couldn't find, I said, turn to your left. And turned to the left and hit the pole with the chain on and he unhooked the gate.
Uh-huh.
That's where he done the road last time. See for the road, you know, and get to a different road. He see with that stick.
Well, that was something though, to be carrying that much money with.
Yes, sir. And after I told him not to bring no more, he come there next time I seen him. He said, "You and Anna is two honest people. Wonder how you know to be honest if he couldn't see." You know, that got me right there. If he said we was honest, well, he didn't know if he couldn't see. If he didn't know or somebody hadn't told him how much money he couldn't tell whether he was honest or not.
Well, he probably had been told what happened.
Somebody else told him about how much money he had. He said, y'all are 200 people. That's the truth. I wouldn't take a nickel from him, you know.
Uh-huh.
But lots of people would have taken that money. So I've heard since that somebody taking some of it. I don't know whether it's true or not.
Yeah.
I heard that.
Well, somebody along the line be tempted to take a little of it.
Yes. Well, I heard somebody did get some of it.
Yeah. But you'd known him for a long time, hadn't you?
Back then, I don't know, was it the year of 1906 or 1905? One of the time, I know, yes.
Yeah. Did you ever farm with him?
No, I never farmed with him, because me and him, I don't think, could get along. So, you know, he was a kind of a hard fellow to get along with, but I know the place he did farm with.
Yeah.
But I know him. Yeah. Of course, he used to, of course, it don't make no difference by telling him not to do it. He used to be a bootlegger, though. He about done that all the time coming along.
Well, where did he make it? Over there at his house?
Yeah, you know, he didn't stay there all the time. That's where he had now.
Yeah.
You know, he used to stay back there. Mr. Franklin got there. It was called McCray, the place back there, the hammock back in there.
Yeah.
His place grew up back there, swamp back there. It wasn't nothing but swamp. That's where he... that's how he raised all them children back in the day, you know.
Oh.
Yes.
Back there, and later, before he moved up to the road there.
Where he at now?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. He just, well, I don't know how many years, but he's maybe been about 30 years ago, I reckon. He
stayed
that
across the road there in America.
Oh, yeah. He stayed up here in the Mayanoka, too. But back yonder on the crazy place, the most place he stayed. He stayed back that long. Because I think that's where he raised all them children. Just about a few of them come here since that time.
Oh, that was Thomas and them two youngest boys. Thomas and Douglas. They were born.
That girl they called Mary Lou, I think she, and Thomas and Douglas. But Sugar Man and all the rest of them.
Sometimes a man couldn't make quite make a go of it with vegetables.
Yes, sir.
And a little moonshine helped him.
Well, you could sell it. That's the thing to sell any time.
Yeah.
It'll sell now. Well, of course, he said himself that's what put him, give him a start. And I guess he did, because he sold quite a bit of, well, he sold all the time he back there, until he got, I imagine he was last year, knew where his eyesight had come to steal, and he quit there.
Yeah.
I think he run in on him one time, since he's been living there where he's living now, I heard he did. But long in them time, and he used to be in the most of his sale of moonshine, but they didn't bother him.
Yeah.
In fact, back in them times, it wasn't as bad about
No, back in them times they didn't bother a man very much.
No, because he didn't bother him.
As long as he didn't cause any trouble.
Trouble, that's right. Yeah, he kept quiet and everything. He went a long time. But now it looks like to me they must be Google. And I know several people started in the last 10. 12 years, and they must be firing airplanes now. I don't know where they find it, but the fellow come out there and started between my house and Rochelle, but he didn't get started good before they had him.
Oh, is that right?
Yes. Well, they didn't catch him right at the steel, but they found the steel and threw it up. It just didn't catch him, but.
Yeah. Why, yes. They got those airplanes now.
Yes, going around.
And they're going over all the time. You don't know which one's looking at you.
That's right.
Yeah.
Mr. Miles, did you know the man what got killed out here in the airplane?
No.
He lived over there, didn't he? One of them did. Somewhere over there, outside of Craig Carrie Walker lived. Somewhere back over there.
Oh.
Not for him.
Oh, Marguerite Smith's grandson?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
No, I didn't know him. Did you know him?
Mm-hmm.
You talking about those old times. Who was you named for?
Who was I named for?
Uh-huh.
How you mean?
Woodard.
Oh, that's my granddad. My mother's dad.
Your uncle.
His last name was Woodard. His name was Kai Woodard. I don't know what he named over my mother's name, but then they named, give me his last name. His name was Kyle Woodard.
Yeah.
And they named me Woodard.
Well, now who was Uncle Will Woodard?
That is my mother's brother.
That's your mother's brother.
Yes. You know him?
I know of him.
Yes,
sir.
Yes. Yeah. He used to live back over here on the Coffin Bridge over there.
Yeah.
That's my mother's brother. Yes.
Did you know him pretty well?
Yes.
He lived over on that River Six Road, didn't he?
Yes, sir. Not far from where Marvin Townsend was living, but a little bit back this way, and that other place, Jackson Place, where that barn had crossed over there.
Yeah.
Not far, but it's on the other side of the road over there. That's where he lived there. Just the road divided two places where he lived.
What'd he do, Woodard?
Well, he didn't do nothing.
I've
been
in that thing.
Not much. He didn't do nothing much. Except, he wasn't so bright, I'll say it was you in that been some being in the family sometime, don't have much sense as others, weak minded something.
Oh, he wasn't very bright.
No. And he gives them malt. You know what I'm talking about? They used to buy malt. That's the biggest thing he's done.
Oh, really?
Yeah. When they used to buy malt, he used to give them malt, and the malt man would come around and sell them. That's the biggest thing he's done back then.
Well, a lot of people got Scott Morris. That was
that used to be all the go around there at one time, but.
Well, there was a good sale for it.
Yes, get good sale for it.
Did you ever get any, Miss Annie?
Yes, ma'am. I used to gather.
Used to gather
the green moss and put it down and kill it.
Now, how was that?
Keep water on it and it'll
pile it up, put it in a pile, and it'll turn. The next day they get black, what they call hair black moss. It's black. And you get it. You get 5 cents a pound for that.
5 cents a pound?
Yes.
Well, they must have had some good way to. Something to use it for.
I think you said it.
It's how to put in furniture cushions and automobile cushions in them times.
Since that time, they found something else. Now, the late years, there wasn't no sale at all for it. You couldn't buy it.
Oh.
You couldn't sell it now.
Now, that's the end of Channel 1. Channel 1 over. Channel 1 over. That's the end of Channel 1 over. And the continuation of the visit with Annie and Woodard Coleman this Wednesday afternoon, 23rd of December, 1970. And this is the end of the first side, Channel 1 over. The visit, continuation of the visit with Woodard and Miss Annie Coleman this Wednesday afternoon, 23rd of December. This is the end of Channel 1 Over, the end of Channel 1 Over, and a continuation of the visit with Woodard and Miss Annie Coleman this Wednesday afternoon, the 23rd of December, 1970.